Don't allow wrong thinking to hold you back and keep you from receiving all God has for you. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, join Kenneth Copeland and guest Jerry Savell as they begin Prayers That Change Everything. Now here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Monday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm telling you, God is on the move, and we are in it with Him, and He is in it with us. And there is an awakening happening all over the earth to the fact that Jesus is alive, and He sits in authority at the right hand of Almighty God. Now, this is not something you see on the news media. There, they got a clue what's going on. But they're waking up to the fact that something's happening, nothing is working like they've been able to make it work in the past. And as that happens, that world's system, the Babylonian system, begins to implode on itself like the Tower of Babel did and every empire since then, once it reaches that cap, and it starts to fall in on itself. And it, as it caves in, the body of Christ and its strength looks like that it's coming up. Actually, it's just standing where it always has been and everything else falling down. And here we stand. If we've been seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness all this time, all these things are added to us, and we've come out from among them, and we've become separate from them, talking about that system out there, and God is our source. And as so, it looks like we're just going up, 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 and actually, we're just standing strong where we've always been, and everything else is imploding around us.
Right.
So listen, don't you miss a session this week. Brother Jerry Savell is here, and we're getting into some things on prayer and the prayer of petition and so forth that you need and you don't want to miss. This is at the heart of the kingdom of God. And Father, we thank You and we praise You for it. We give You the glory for every word, every deed, every good thing. We open our hearts and minds for revelation from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Join me today in welcoming Jerry Savell to this broadcast.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Good to be
back. All last week now, at the close of last week, we were talking about the fact that there are different kinds of prayer.
Right.
And different ways and rules that govern those different kinds of prayer. Now I've noticed over the years that they overlap one another, and it creates a pattern and communication with God that everywhere Satan tries to get in, he's blocked out.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And the reason that people have had prayer failures in the past, you have not because you ask not. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jerry, I'm one man I'm thinking about now was a good friend of our family's. I knew him for years, and he's home with the Lord now. But he had this idea, and this was big back in my dad's generation, your dad, my dad, back that came up through the Depression and all that. Mm. Well, now, you know, I don't ask God for things.
Mm.
Well, that's your dumb fault.
Yeah.
Because God said to ask.
Right.
Well, no, you know, I don't ask God for things. In other words, I just want Him to know that I humble myself and I don't bother Him until I need Him. Words just fail me. To think
well,
about
the
what
the bottom line is, He's useless to the kingdom of God.
And it's pride.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good old hard working old boy pride in there.
Yeah.
You know.
He thinks it's being humble and it's being stupid.
Yeah, and it's false humility.
Yeah.
Those are the words I'm looking for. It's false humility. Real Bible humility says, whatever God says is right. And I stand on that. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
Instead of to humble myself is to subject myself to His word and to do and think the way He says to do and think, say what He says to say, and say, I'm yours to command, sir. Mm-hmm. Instead of, I'm just so humble, I'll do all this by myself and I won't bother you.
Yeah.
As if God got so much to do, He can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
That is that old traditional, it's taking a strong work ethic, which is good. There's nothing wrong with working hard.
Yeah.
But if you're working hard to earn bread, then you're out of line with the Word of God. Because we were supposed to be on assignment from Him, doing whatever He says to. Jesus said, don't think about the food and the drink and the clothes. The Gentiles are all seeking that. He said, you seek first the kingdom of God. Your Father knows you have need of these things. And I wrote in my Bible that that's the reason He put it in the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on assignment. We're not out earning this stuff. We live and operate by grace. He takes care of these things.
Yeah.
So all of this mindset has to be changed. And it's changed in the field of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't come crawling to the throne of grace.
No.
No. You come in and sit down on the throne of grace.
That's right.
With Him.
As though sin has never occurred.
Oh, yeah.
Without fear, without inferiority.
Jerry, thank you, Lord. Before we get into this in 1 John 5, I want us to go right back to that. But before we do anything, let's go to the book of Hebrews and let's act on something here. In the 12th chapter, wherefore seeing, this is the first verse, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, those are the ones that have gone on before us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just as involved as we are. They're not sitting watching over us. No. They're involved. We're involved. The next great event in this earth is the catching away of the church of Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. And they're working towards that, and we're working towards that. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. All that stuff that easily besets you, that thing that Satan can tag you with and it just seems like you don't have any defense for it.
Mm-hmm.
Let us run with patience, with strong, constant consistency and endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and developer of our faith. Let's do that right now. You just lay yourself bare before the Lord Jesus. When you confess that sin wasn't when He found out about it, that's when you got rid of it. So just open yourself up right now and just pray this. Lord Jesus, I lay aside every weight,
every sin
that has so easily beset me. And I run with patience. Endurance. Consistency. The race that you've set before me. My calling.
My life.
The kingdom of God. And I seek first your kingdom. Your plan be done. Your will be done. I am yours to command. And I'm looking to you. You are the author and the developer of my faith. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise God.
Now we're ready.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Looking unto Him.
Looking unto Him.
You know, here one of the things I discovered here recently about this, the Amplified says, strip off, throw aside every encumbrance, every unnecessary weight, and the sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us. One of the things that entangles Christians, perhaps more than anything else, is their old religious traditions.
Oh, yeah.
And especially in the area of prayer.
Yeah.
You know, things that have just been passed down from great-grandma to mama to you, that didn't even line up with the Word of God. And they become, you know, most people read this and they think, that's sin. You know, that terrible sin that's been holding me back. Well, yeah, but what about all that religious tradition that's been holding people back? Jesus said that your traditions make the commandments of God of no effect.
No effect from the Word.
Yeah, the Word won't even work in a person's life who won't let go of religious traditions that don't line up with the Word of God. And man, there's more of them in the area of prayer than perhaps any other area.
And you know, Jerry, all of the Protestant so-called denominations, all of them were born in a time of revival and the move of God.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them. But they caught hold of those traditions and wouldn't go ahead and flow with God and just stopped on that and just hung on to that and wouldn't, then the tradition just bled them dry and God would have to move over and start over again and they'd do the same thing over again and then those two would fight with one another.
Yeah.
So thank God for what happened in the last half of the 20th century and is going on now, where God began to restore truth to the body of Christ, and he found a group of people that would just throw all that stuff off, and wherever you're going, I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you're going to do, I'm going to do. In spite of what everybody else talked ugly about you, it didn't make a difference. You're just going on anyway. Those things that my grandparents, my great-grandparents, my great-grandmother was a prayer warrior. I didn't know that when I was a young boy. I found it out years later.
Mm-hmm.
But now, the things that they learned in prayer would, as they passed that down, if you don't pass the word down that it's based on, then it's going to get altered and twisted a little, altered a little more, and altered a little bit more, and around this way, and nobody notices it.
And eventually, there's no resemblance to the word in it.
No.
You know?
And it only takes a couple of generations for it to get it far enough away from it that you're just praying that because that's just the way we pray. So, and it chokes off the faith and expectancy of it ever coming to pass.
Right. I often wonder how God reacts to somebody who just won't get it and just keeps praying all their life, no matter what the Word says, Lord, be with me. Lord, be with me. Now, most Christians have prayed that 1,000 times in their lifetime or more.
Religiously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over and over and over.
And here he's already said, and I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And they're still saying, Lord, be with me. Why? Because that's just the way Daddy prayed it, and that's the way Grandpa prayed it. But when are we ever going to face the fact that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you?
Well, Jerry, in the first place, they don't want to hear themselves pray that.
Mm-hmm.
It just comes out. Because if something then bad happens, they say, well, you know, I just wish the Lord had been with me.
Yeah.
So there wasn't any faith in it. And I used to pray that.
Mm-hmm.
And I never heard myself pray it until I got hold of it, became aware of that, and I got aware of it on that scripture, I will never leave you nor forsake you even to the end of the age. In another place, even to the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what a waste of prayer breath.
Yeah.
And I became so aware of it that it grew into this place, and I finally heard it in my spirit. Now, God was saying it all the time. I was so underdeveloped and unaware I knew something's going on, but it took a while before I learned how to hear it. And it grew into this, and I finally heard the Lord say it. And once I got it, I realized He'd been trying to get this over to me for a long time. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. But what I finally heard was, become God inside minded.
Right.
He's not going to be with me. He's in me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it just hit me like somebody just slapped me with a cold, wet rag. And I woke up and I said, oh, Lord, God be with me? That borders on being blasphemous. Yes, He's in me. He's around me, under me, over me. He is God in me. And I began to renew my awareness that He's in here. Then I started saying, come on, Jesus, let's go. He's with me. He's in me. He's over there when I get there. He's here now when I leave, and He's going to be here all the way over there.
Yeah, I remember years ago I was flying somewhere on a commercial airline, and a lady came and sat next to me, an elderly lady, and she was, she didn't want on that airplane. She was so afraid.
That's her.
And she grabbed that thing, you know, and held on to the arms of that thing. She said, oh, Lord, be with us. Lord, be with us. Don't let this thing crash. She's praying out loud, you know, and said, I hate airplanes. And I just tapped her on the hand. I said, ma'am, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. She said, how do you know? I said, well, I'm here, and Jesus is in me, and we're going to be all right. I said, I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm on assignment, and I'm going to make it to the other side, and since you're sitting by me, you're going to make it too.
What'd she say?
And she said, oh, that just helps me so much. When we got up, when we landed, she said, I ain't never flying again, but if I ever do, I hope it's set by you.
You remember John Osteen told us and taught us about a time. And it was overflying. Mm-hmm. He allowed fear to really get hold of him. And it was all over. Someone called him and told him that they thought the airplane that he was planning on traveling on that week was going to crash and he was going to die. So he didn't go on the airplane. He went some other way. That's not all bad. If you check it out with God and find out that that's the truth, and God says, yeah, I don't want you on that airplane.
Yeah, I've had that happen before.
Yeah, I want you, but He didn't do that. Mm-hmm. He just took what they said and acted on that fear. And when that happened, then the devil took it and just moved in there on him and just carried him senseless nearly over flying. It spilled over into other things in his life. Yeah. That spirit of fear really wrung him out for several years before the Lord really got hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he decided, I'm done with this. So he got on this airplane, and he was like what that woman was. Man, he grabbed a hold of his knuckle turned white, you know. He's sitting there on that thing. And the devil said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. You ain't never going to get there. You're never going to get there. Well, when they landed and taxied up to the gate, John said, well, see there, Satan. He said, yeah, but I'm going to kill you on the way home.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you don't deal with him, he'll just keep at that kind of thing.
That's right.
He said, no, you're not. And I brought that out because this fits right in here, what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he had an experience with God in this thing. And here was Satan standing right in front of him, just as real. It was an open vision. And he saw him, and he said he was just petrified. And he kept backing away from him, and he kept backing away from him, and he bumped into something. And he turned and looked, and it is Jesus.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the exact details, but Jesus absorbed him into himself. And it was still John, but he knew that Jesus had absorbed him into himself. We are in him and he's in us. Mm-hmm. But then he said he began to move towards the devil. And then he noticed the devil was absolutely petrified. He was so scared. Mm-hmm.
He didn't see John anymore.
He didn't see John anymore. He saw Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you know, John Osteen, just bolder and a wild dog, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, but that was the reason why.
Yeah.
And he came out of there, man, he was hard to handle for the rest of his days.
Well, you know, he told the story about him sitting out in the front yard one day under a tree, just worshiping the Lord and, you know, just fellowshipping with God. And he said, and he just had a little vision there, and the devil was training new demons, you know.
I remember that.
And they were coming down John Street, and this little demon spoke up and said, "Let me go to that house." John said, or the devil said, "Okay, you go to that house." And he went over there, and he just tormented them people, you know. And then this other little devil said, "Well, let me go to that house." And he went over there, and he tormented them. And then this little devil said, "Let me go to this house." And the devil said, "Oh, no, you can't
go
there."
"Don't go in there."
"No, don't go over there." He said, "Why can't I go over there?" He said, "Oh, that's John Osteen's out. He'll beat the tar out of you."
"Them people in there, they'll beat the daylights out of you. Don't go in there." And we laugh about this, but this is truth. Because the scripture says you resist him, he'll flee from you.
Yeah.
And you resist him for a while, and God will exalt you and strengthen you and establish you. Praise God.
Yeah.
And this is where we need to be when we go before the Lord in prayer.
Yeah.
We're not begging. No. We're not just hoping, or wishing would be a better word. That's not what hope is. We're just wishing something would happen.
You can go with confidence.
Confidence, boldness, strength.
Assurance.
Yes, I belong here.
Yeah, praise God.
And we did it again. We're out of time.
Out of time.
Jerry and I will be back in just a moment.
Every prayer you pray can be a winning prayer. God has given us the playbook with all the rules of the game to teach you the right prayer for the right time. To be effective in prayer, as in sports, you have to use the proper equipment and guidelines. You don't have to try to figure out if you're praying by the right rules anymore. You can know how to pray correctly. The Call to Prayer package will help you learn. For more than 44 years, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have been putting God's Word into practice, and they've developed a lifestyle of faith and prayer that works. Their latest Lifeline kit, How to Get Your Prayers Answered, is an in-depth 10-day spiritual action plan designed to help you move from basic to world-changing prayer. Spiritual MVP and longtime fellow minister Dr. Jerry Sabell has written The Prayer of Petition. It is your hands-on guide to the prayer that gets results and your tool to stopping opposition. This winning team is here to coach you to victory. It's time to get your prayers answered every time. Prayer is the foundation of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and now you can draw from over 40 years of ministry experience from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland on this life-changing subject. If you want prayers that get results, then go online and order your Call to Prayer package today. This power pack set is available at a 35% savings for just $29. The Call to Prayer package will change your prayer life and give you the foundation for effective prayer. Receive an additional product discount at 48-hour processing when you order online.
Before we leave the air today, let me remind you again of the Call to Prayer package. This new book by Jerry Sabell, The Prayer of Petition, Breaking Through the Impossible. This is a study work. Read through it, enjoy it, but then go back with your Bible and study it. Work every scripture, work every paragraph until you get your mind renewed about your attitude of prayer, about what you sense in your own consciousness as you go before God, and this will help you change the things you need to change. Now, along with that, this How to Get Your Prayers Answered 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan. So this is a study track on the laws and rules of prayer, and you put these things together. Ooh, Man. Jerry, I can see, because I remember back 44 years ago when I first got a hold of this, I was hearing Brother Hagin teach on this, and I studied his, he had an old mimeographed outline on prayer, and I studied that thing and preached out of it.
Oh, yeah.
I worked with that for a year. And that's what you need to do with this. Work with it, study it, live in it for a year, 18 months, however long it takes. And you'll be studying other things as you do that. But this, listen, every Christian failure is a prayer failure.
Yeah.
Because God set this thing up to win. Praise God. That's so right. You do what you need to do to get a hold of it. Now then, we're going to Venezuela, August the 26th and 27th. Jesus es el Señor, gloria a Dios, hallelujah. We had a great time there in the last 2-3 years that we've been there. And you pray, you can join us there. And God is moving all throughout that part of the world. Go to kcm.org and get more information. Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. Amen. And until then, this is Kenneth and Jerry reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on KCM, visit kcm.org. Online, you'll find free ministry resources to help you live every day in faith. Receive God's promise that everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. Join Kenneth Copeland for the Venezuela Victory Campaign in Maracaibo, Estado de Zulia, Venezuela, August 26th and 27th. Live at East Coast Faith Conference with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher, September 16th and 17th at the Meadowlands Exposition Center in Secaucus, New Jersey. Pastor Terry Pearsons is speaking at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference at Canada Christian College, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, September 28th through 30th. Come to the 2011 Word Explosion with Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, and Chaplain A.L. Downing, October 13th through 15th in Columbia, South Carolina. The Copelands welcome you the 10th through 12th of November to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information on these and other KCM meetings, call 800-600-7395. That's 800-600-7395. Or visit our website at kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Prayer that changes things is not about changing God. He's not the problem. Everything He has done has been to our advantage. Always find out what His Word says and then pray the answer and not the problem.